Well, it's always a blessing to have Randy Alcorn back with us. He's the author of more than 60 books on the Christian life and the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. Randy, it's great to see you again.
Hey, great to be with you, Rob.
By the way, Randy has graciously contributed an article to the first edition of our new quarterly magazine, Faithful Steward. It draws from the six principles in his book, The Treasure Principle. And Randy, we're going to unpack these here today. But first, how can grasping these six principles really help reshape our thinking and view of money?
Well, I think we have to start with what's basic in the sight of God. Sometimes we look at the world around us. If we take our cues from everything around us, we just think wrongly. We become conformed to this world instead of transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when we look at Scripture, you know, the first principle, God owns everything, and I'm just his money manager. It all belongs to him. That itself, if there was nothing else, that if you actually believe that, it will radically change your life. Because we know that if it really belongs to someone else, not to us, then we are managing their assets, and we better ask them what they want us to do with it. And in the case of God, he's got a book full of answers to what to do with his money.
Yeah, and that's well said, Randy. But it really puts a fine point on this idea that this is a high calling that you and I and everyone listening enjoys, and that is we are actually money managers for the King of Kings. That's a big idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And think of the trust that he is putting in us. On the one hand, it's kind of scary and almost a little bit disorienting because really God is entrusting to me the care of his assets. That is like the biggest money manager responsibility that exists, is for God to entrust into our hands. And that just means we better study the word, we better get training, we better read books, and the right books, not just any books. And we better come to grips with what this means, that we are God's asset managers, because that is a massive responsibility. To whom much is given, of him will much be required.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's really this first principle. You said it, God owns everything. I'm his money manager. Unpack that for us a bit more, Randy, because that means as a household manager, I think that's the way the New Testament, the word for steward would be translated. It means I don't have any ownership rights, but I have stewardship responsibilities, right?
Exactly. And it really does radically change everything. I remember an illustration I used many years ago. I was actually first talking to kids about sexual purity. And so I asked to borrow a pencil from somebody. Not too many people are carrying around pencils these days, but, you know, so, hey, can you have a pencil I can borrow? And so this girl in the front row hands me her pencil and I just break it in half. And it's like, whoa, whoa, what, you know, and then I explain, actually, that was my pencil. I put it with her. Now, you can talk about poor stewardship of a pencil if you want to. But the point is, it belonged to me. And so that pretty much changed everything. I didn't just take what was hers and just break it, you know, no permission. And the point is, who does it belong to? And that's the key to everything. It belongs to God.
Oh, that's so good and so powerful. And that really, folks, is the beginning point of a biblical worldview of money management. God owns everything. I am his money manager. We talked about the first principle, that God owns everything and we're his money manager. The second one, Randy, is so key, and it's that our heart always goes where we put God's money. Unpack that for us.
Well, that's right there in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Where we learn from Jesus, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we might think of it as, well, okay, wherever our heart is, our treasure will go. Well, actually, where we put our treasure is where our heart will follow. What that means is when somebody says, okay, well, I really wish I had a heart for missions. I really wish I had a heart for the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus actually gives us a way to get a heart for the kingdom of God. It's to put our treasure there. If we put our treasure there, if we give generously, if we expand the horizons of our giving, our heart will go where we're putting those treasures. So you want to have more of a heart for the kingdom of God and for world missions? Give generously to your church, to missions, to everything that will matter for eternity, and your heart will follow.
Mm. Yeah, there's a connection between our hearts and our money. And if we don't understand that, we won't understand the counsel of Scripture as it relates to this topic. That is a profound idea, Randy. And that leads to the why, which is this next one. And that is that we need to cultivate an eternal perspective because heaven, the new earth, not the present one, is our home. I know you've thought deeply about this and written on it extensively. Share that one for us.
Yeah, Hebrews 11:16 says we're citizens of a better country that is a heavenly one. And when the treasure principle first came out, I said, heaven, not earth, is my home. But then I changed that in light of the theology when I wrote my big book on heaven, is that the new earth will be a transformed earth and will be resurrected people on a resurrected earth for all eternity. So in a sense, actually, earth will be my home as it was for Adam and Eve, but it will be the new earth, the transformed earth. Now, when we get that in our mind, that that's really my home, that's where my citizenship is, then we will live in light of the values of that country, and we will look ahead to heaven where Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And instead of storing them up here, where they're not going to last, we're going to store them up there. And it's not only the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, because those are treasures that are going to last.
Mm. You make this profound statement in the book, The Treasure Principle. We can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead. And our friend Louis Giglio, pastor and teacher, I heard a sermon from him recently, and he was talking about the seven things you won't be able to do when you're in heaven. And one of those was use money to proclaim the gospel. We have that opportunity right now. We won't have that in the future. And so we need to send it on ahead, don't we?
Absolutely. And that is, again, an amazing privilege to think that we could actually have something to do with what treasures we will enjoy in heaven. Now, people talk about what literally are those treasures. It's not going to be piles of gold and silver and all of that, but it's going to be positions of responsibility over others. You've been faithful in little, I'll put you over much. I'll put you over five cities. I'll put you over 10 cities, serving people, and the privilege of roles of service in God's kingdom for all eternity. I mean, I've met so many people where what a privilege it would be to serve under them as I'm serving the Lord in eternity.
Mm. I know you've recently updated your powerful book, The Law of Rewards. Any new ideas you'd want to share with us from that related to this topic?
I would say more than anything else, as I redid Law of Rewards, it wasn't so much new things, but it was old things that just gripped me on a deeper level because it's been 20 years since I wrote that book. And certainly just the fact that God is in favor of rewards. Eternal rewards, if they were our idea, that would be totally inappropriate. Who are we to think that God would reward us for anything? But the key to everything is it's God's idea. So when somebody says, well, I don't really care about rewards. I just want to be with the Lord. And it sounds so spiritual because all I care about is being with him. And that's wonderful. But you know what? He cares about more than that. He also cares that we have invested our lives in what matters, what will count for eternity. And he wants to say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness.
Mm. Wow. Randy, I want to talk about one more of these principles that you unpack in this book, and that is that God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. You know, you and I will always spend to our level of income unless we protest to the contrary. Why is that such an important idea for us to understand?
Well, we so often start with the assumption that, well, God provided it for me, so he wants me to spend it. Yeah. You know, and why do we start with that assumption as opposed to God provided it for me because he wants me to give it? He wants me to share it. Now, of course, we keep some things and we need money to buy food and, you know, have a house to live in and all these kinds of things. So this is not asceticism where, you know, physical things are bad or whatever. But the fact is that we need to look at it in certain ways. I use an illustration of, let's say, the FedEx guy or the UPS guy shows up and he takes something from me and he's going to get it into somebody else's hand. Well, what if I find out that he's been taking it home and keeping it? Well, I look at it and I go, wait, you don't even understand your job. God gives stuff to us. He entrusts it to us so that we will be able to do something with it that will matter for eternity. And when God gives something, puts something into our hands, we should not begin with the assumption he just wants us to keep it for ourselves, but use it for him and for his glory and the good of others.
Boy, that is well said. And that is the big idea. That's our heart here on this program, is each day we would help you to see God is your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Folks, if you haven't read The Treasure Principle, pick it up wherever you buy books. It will be a life-changing experience for you. Randy, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Hey, great to be with you, Rob.